Dan Egan in our studios. I'm holding his book. And Corey, I like to be rather me on the show, and I'm not going to change that till the day they tell me I'm not doing it or I don't want to do it. But we get a lot of great novels and books. I'm looking at the Down East author over here. We had the Indispensables on about Marblehead's General Glover's Navy. So in our packet recently, I didn't open this for, I admit it, the summer you get a little lazy. I finally open it. I see this wonderful book, 30 Years in a White Haze, Dan jumping off a cliff somewhere in the world on extreme skiing. That's the book. And he was nice enough to just sign a little thing. I said, I want him on the show. I didn't know he'd come into the studios. He's got a big show and performance this weekend in Portsmouth at the Music Hall. Dan Egan, GMI Studios, famous extreme skier. How are you?
I'm good, Jack. Thanks for bringing me in. You ready to ski?
I'm getting ready, yeah. I don't know if I'll do as many as last year, but I'll try. I always got to get over 35 a season.
Not bad. That's good. We'll keep you going.
But they're not full days anymore, Dan.
The lifts go faster. That's the whole thing.
Hey, listen, you got a great, great human story, and you may not get to tell it as much. I don't know what you haven't done. I'm serious, in the world. You're a real outgoing person. I've been a fan for years. I do equate this, by the way, as having like a Bobby Orr teammate or someone from the Bruins, and I really don't get excited with a lot, but I really am a fan of what you've done. Because you've taken this sport and you changed it. Not a lot of athletes do that. And you've gotten so many younger people into the sport. And, you know, it used to be you didn't see people skinning up a mountain or going off a remote trail. And as a former ski patrol, we used to tell people not to cut lines and go off those trails. But you really changed skiing. Tell us a little bit about where it all began. You grew up in the Boston area.
Yeah, we grew up, jumping over the fence and landing in the neighbor's yard. It was always sort of pushing the limits, you know, in a big family with a lot of kids. What can you do? But in the 80s, you know, what I like to say is that we MTV'd skiing. We glitz and glamored it. And we did that hand in hand with the birth of the VCR. And, you know, we had big hair and headbands and day glow suits and long straight skis. And we started jumping off cliffs and the marketplace was ready for it.
So it was a person named Warren Miller, right?
Yeah. Well, Warren was really important to me, became a mentor. And, together, my brother John, collectively, we've skied in 19 different Warren Miller films.
Wow. All over the world.
All over the world. I had said to Warren, I want to go all over the world wherever CNN is. And he loved that idea. So, you know, we jumped off the Berlin Wall. We skied with the Kurds during the first Persian Gulf War on the border of Turkey. And on and on and on it went.
Do you know how few people on Earth can say what you just said?
you know what? We used to think the world was going to become a safer spot. But you couldn't go ski a lot of the places I've skied today.
Well, that's true in terms of political, military realities. But, you know, you also jumped out of one of the trams at Cannon Mountain.
We jumped out of Ketchup, the red tram at Tower 2.
How did that go?
We did it twice. I would do it differently today. I would have built a ramp.
How many feet?
Well, about 35 feet up.
Corey, you're athletic. You work out all the time. Imagine jumping off a perfectly good tram.
I watched that video, and I was amazed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible.
Well, you know what? You had fun with it, but it was work. But real quickly, you mentioned when you first came in. By the way, if you want to say hi to Dan, I know there's a lot of ski fans out there, or just fans, and he really is a New Hampshire gem. From Boston, we'll claim him as one of our own. He lives in Campton, New Hampshire, near Waterville, and out at Big Sky in the winter. But 866-823-1077, 866-823-1077. You know, Governor Sununu's a big ski fan from Waterville Valley. He may call in and say hi, but Dan, you know, you mentioned 30 Years in a White Haze. Your book, by the way, 30 Years in a White Haze. Dan's going to be at the Portsmouth Music Hall Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with the Warren Miller movies in his book. Before we get to that, you mentioned 30 years had some significance. Why?
Yeah, well, 30 years ago, in 1990, I was lost in a mountain storm in Russia. We were climbing and skiing Mount Elbrus. And Mount Elbrus, not a lot of people know this, claims more lives than Everest every year. And in 1990, on May 2nd, we were trapped at 17,000 feet, and 15 people perished. And I was lost in the storm for 38 hours, and a Russian found me and saved my life. And
wow.
That really, really changed my life.
How so?
Well, just, you know, lucky. You know, I believe I was having a white light experience, and it got interrupted by a 6'4" Russian, thank God, and you know, people have always asked me to write that story, and I would tell them at the time, It's not the end of my story. It's the beginning because I was a young man. And
how young were you?
I was 24.
24.
Yeah.
I mean, you obviously didn't think you were going to see the other side, that you'd come out.
Yeah, I really didn't. I was separated from my brother, and my friends who died were also lost in the storm and were alone in a snow cave similar to me, and that's how they perished.
Now, going forward, though, you did a lot after that, but what must have always been in your mind to this day?
Yeah, I think, you know, that sort of idea that being a mountain guide, when you're off in the clouds and the wind, up high in the peaks, you know, people are looking for their best day of their lives, and I'm often thinking about what could happen if it was your worst.
Yeah. Dan Egan, the book, 30 Years in a White Haze, 866-823-1077. Now, you're going to be at the Portsmouth Music Hall Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
This weekend.
At the Warren Miller Show. Winter Starts Now is the name of the new movie, and it's just a phenomenal way to kick off winter every year. And then I'll also be up at the Flying Monkey the Friday after Thanksgiving.
We have a website question from Plymouth in a moment. Let me go back, though, to Warren Miller. A lot of people may not. Corey, are you familiar with Warren Miller?
I am not.
I only became, this is what I
watching these videos, yes.
It was actually neighbors of ours in Bedford, New Hampshire, when the kids were younger. There were a couple of the Thompson family. A couple of their kids were just like you and your family. They were always jumping off stuff in their yard. They had a hill. And sometimes it would get higher and higher, and they're going deeper, you know, higher up and higher up until someone kind of hurt themselves. And then they say, it's okay. They're boys. Maybe a different time. But they told me they loved. They would go to Warren Miller movie in Manchester, anywhere they could. They loved it. They got hooked because it was just such. But tell us a little bit. Where did Warren come from? What made him want to get into this? Because you said what you kind of were the MTV to skiing in the 80s, but Warren Miller is a big part of changing, putting pretty skiing on a bigger map, no offense to snowboarders.
Well, you know, Warren started making movies in the early 50s. And not only did Warren shoot the movie, edit the movie, produce the movie, tour with the movie, he narrated the movie.
One man band.
He would just pick up and go, and he would go to auditoriums all over the country. And people still to this day remember when Warren would narrate the film. And he's the Pied Piper, the Walt Disney of skiing. But he's also the most prolific American filmmaker of all time. No other filmmaker has ever made more movies than Warren Miller.
You know, as a kid, again, Corey may not remember this, you might, but Jacques Cousteau and his underwater stuff, I almost use him as an analogy, but obviously a driven person, but you and I know that anything is hard. I mean, I watched a documentary the other night on Garth Brooks, and I had no idea. I just thought he kind of fell into it. I had no idea, really none, how hard it was, how long it took him. Went to Nashville, had 7 rejections, went home, went back. And now you know Garth Brooks and country music. Warren Miller has become, at least in the skiing world, kind of legendary name. You're up there as well. You're kind of like in that Hall of Fame area. But people don't know how hard it is, right? You stay with this stuff. You work hard at it. And no one throws a bunch of money at you, right?
You know, blind ambition. You know, the beauty part of that is it's blind, right? You're doing it because you love it. Warren loved it. My brother John and I are born, bred to just follow skiing. We didn't grow up in the North Country. But you know, once skiing got into our blood, you just couldn't say no to it. And you know, Warren once said to me, if I held onto my skis, it'd be like a jet airliner and take me all around the world. And he was right.
Allie on our site side of things asked Dan, please, what are you doing these days?
You know,
I guess you're kind of talking about it.
But. Yeah, well, I still run my ski camps and trips all around the world. My steep camps are in Big Sky, Montana. I'm taking a group over to Zermatt, the Matterhorn, here in early December. So I'm in and out of Europe and around the West and South America running trips. But I'm also producing a lot of content. And, yeah.
Still having fun?
Oh, I love it. Really? You know, wake up every day ready to rumble.
30 Years in a White Haze. I have to ask you, Dan Egan, Eric Wilbur. It's a wonderful book, by the way. And if you're looking for something, you know, hear about the supply shortages or shortage of toys for your kids. You know what? Get this book. I don't have any commission on this. I'm just saying, get it and put it on a coffee table in your living room. And maybe a young person will pick it up. Corey, there are pictures in here. You've seen some of them. Where number one, Dan's sort of standing before he even goes down on a cliff. And I'm already going. I get nervous on Caps Ridge at Jefferson when I'm hiking in the summer. But real quick, there are pictures in here and wonderful anecdotes of his career, his life. It's well done, by the way. When you first started out, looking at some of your early sports, when you first started out, what's your first ski area in New Hampshire you remember going to as a kid?
Well, we went to Mount Sunapee. We used to go up to Sunapee with the Blizzard Ski Club every weekend, and we learned to ski at the Paula and Paul Villar Ski School.
There you are, Dan, at age 10. real quick, you know, we've had Navy SEALs. I'm blessed to be friendly with that community, and they come in, and all the parachute jumps, wear and tear on the body. You've done some things. I'm sure you've broken some ribs and had some knee surgeries. I mean, how you seem pretty mobile, like you still can go off a perfectly good cliff. How's the body?
Yeah, feeling pretty good. I can't stay out of the moguls. I'm addicted to skiing the bumps, and feeling pretty good these days. Of course, you know, when I watch the younger kids and the nephews rip by me, I realize I've lost my jumping gene. But other than that, I'm still feel like I'm ready to go.
All right, we'll come back. The book, 30 Years in a White Haze, delighted to get him in our studios. Dan Egan, back on Good Morning New Hampshire. We'll take your calls other than the site if you want, or we'll take the calls either way. We'll be back in a moment.